If you have your Bible, grab it and turn it to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let me move this down here so I don't kick it over. This morning technically marks the first Sunday of Advent, right? We have the church decorated. We want to say thank you to Greg and Sherry Condor for coming up and hanging up the wreaths, right? And then Miss Holly Harrison back in the back, a little photo booth if you want to take a photo booth with your family, right? Thank you, Miss Holly. Yeah. So we are getting in the Christmas spirit. However, I thought it appropriate, especially in the time that we're in right now, I thought it'd be appropriate for us as a church to pause for a second before we dive in to our Christmas series and give thanks to our Father. Amen. I mean, God has done some very good things for us, not only as individuals and families, but also for our church family. And as you look back on this year and what has happened, it may seem difficult, may seem impossible, because 2020 has been so rough. But see if your mind is not changed after hearing this story. There was a house church pastor in China. His name was Yang Hua. And he was taken into custody during a raid on his church on December 9th, 2015, after he interfered with the authorities' attempts to confiscate the computers there on the church property. A day later, he was sentenced to two consecutive five-day administrative detention sentences, one for the crime of obstructing justice and the other for gathering a crowd to disturb public order. On December 20th, the day of his scheduled release, his wife, Hong Wu, witnessed him being herded into an unlicensed vehicle blindfolded. Upon inquiry, she learned that her husband had been charged with illegally possessing state secrets, and he was being transferred to another detention facility to serve out his sentence. After a month of no word, right, from her husband, who had disappeared into official police custody, she received notice on January 22nd announcing the formal announcement of her husband's arrest for divulging state secrets. Now, initially, his lawyers weren't even able to meet with him, but eventually they allowed them to do so. In fact, they didn't even allow his wife to communicate with him until later on. And so eventually she was able to communicate with him via letters. And I'd like to read you, remember, think about this attitude of thankfulness and thanksgiving. I would like to read you an excerpt from one of those letters that he wrote on June 30th. So he's been in prison for 6 months now. And on June 30th, he sends his wife this: "I want to share what I received with you. God has given me a year of rest after 23 years of hard work. Previously, when I was out of jail, things were always coming down incessantly because there were many different kinds of affairs to attend to. The Israelites worked every year for 6 years and then rested on the seventh. This is a good place to rest, where I am cut off from the rest of the world and brought closer to God." So did you catch that? He writes, "This is a good place to rest." Where is he at? He's in prison. And he's not in some American jail, right? Are you tracking with me? He's not in a place where he has access to TV and internet. You know they have that, right? My stepfather is the sheriff of Ofusky County, and the prisoners in there have access to Netflix. Now, it has parent restrictions on it, but they have access to Netflix, right? That's American prison. They get 3 meals a day. In fact, they had a big Thanksgiving meal. The prisoners there at Ofusky County Jail had a big Thanksgiving meal. 3 meals a day. They get a bed to sleep on. This guy, this pastor, is not in an American jail. He's in a jail in China. And he says this is a good place to rest. He continues and he writes this: "I can no longer hear the clamorous noise, but can better listen to the Lord's voice." And he quotes Psalm 29:10, "The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever." And I especially want you to listen to this next part as he wraps it up. genuine, this is what he writes his wife, mind you, hadn't seen in several months. Genuine rest has nothing to do with the environment. No matter if the waves are quiet or the sea roars, our hearts rest in God, just as a weaned child sleeps in its mother's arms. I want to thank God for using this special method to give this special gift to our household. Let us accept and enjoy it with a thankful heart. He's in jail. He hasn't seen or spoken to his wife or family in months, and he wants to thank God for this special method. I don't know about you, but if it were me, and I'm being real, right? I'm being honest. But if it were me, I'd like to say something like that. And if you ask me right now, JD, would you be able to say something like that? I'd be like, oh yeah, I could say something like that. I'd like to think that about myself. And it's so powerful when you hear it and you read it, but I don't know. And then he quotes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Remember, he's writing to his wife, chapter 5, verse 16. And this is what Paul tells the church in Thessalonica. He says, rejoice always. How could it be possible for a person to always rejoice? Now, for us as believers, we know intellectually the answer, right? Because the answer isn't very difficult or hard to come up with. It's really quite simple if you think about it. Joy is not something that you work on. It's not something that you have to build yourself up to. Joy is something that we live in. Did you catch that? Joy is not something that you have to build up. Joy is something that you live in. Your joy is never, ever based on the outside circumstance of your walk, but it's always joy, always from the inside out. Your joy is never based on what is happening around you or to you. It is always based on what is going on within you. And this pastor, he understood that. And so he was able to rejoice even in jail, even in prison, even separated from his loved ones. He was able to rejoice. And if we're not careful, will allow the enemy to steal that joy from us. Because remember, the enemy comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. We'll allow the enemy to steal that joy from us because we're basing it on what is going on around us. This past week, for those of you that aren't that aren't deer hunters or hunting whatsoever, right? This last week opened up deer rifle season. I thought I'd get some of the guys to say amen, but that's okay, right? And I totaled out the amount of times that I went. 7 times I went out. I didn't harvest or kill anything, right? And there was one day, I kid you not, there was one day that I was really bummed. I mean, seriously, I was telling Corey, I'm dumb. I guess I'm just not a good hunter. I just don't understand all this stuff, right? I was having a pity party. But yesterday morning I was out and it was almost as if, I don't know if you've ever had this opportunity, but it was almost as if the Spirit was telling me, you're focused on the wrong thing. And so I was out there in the tree stand. It's cold, mind you. But I was out there in the tree stand and it was silent. It was perfectly silent. And you're out in the country. And I'm telling you what, church, you could see every star in the sky. I mean, every star. There were stars I don't think I've seen before. The sky was so clear. It was so still. And off in the distance, like 175, 200 yards out, I saw 2 doe walking across the pasture. And then further off in the east, off in the distance, I started hearing these turkeys gobble, right? And you could hear, I mean, I was like, oh, you turkeys? It's not turkey season yet, right? Or it's over. Fall season's over. Spring hasn't started. But in that moment, I was able to rejoice because I got to experience something that a lot of people don't get to experience. And it was all because my perspective changed. It went from, man, I have to get a big old buck, to I'm just going to enjoy where I'm at in the moment. And don't get me wrong, I'm going to go back out eventually and try my hand at a buck. All right, so don't get me wrong, I want to get one. But it was all about my perspective. Paul continues in verse 17. Rejoice always, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Now, Paul doesn't have in mind here that, Christians should pray every single waking moment of their lives, right? Every single day, 24/7, 7 days a week. That would be impossible. But when Paul writes this, that we're to pray without ceasing, I believe that he's telling us that we need to keep on praying earnestly, passionately, and expectantly. Because if we truly believe that God hears us when we pray and he answers our prayers, then you and I need to learn to pray with such tenacity and persistence that we will allow nothing to come into contact or interfere or hinder us from even bringing our boldest request to God. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to answer it in the way that we want him to, or again, the expectations of how we think it should play out. But that doesn't mean that we don't ask. Pray without ceasing. And in verse 18, he says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, without a doubt, all of us would probably concede that there are things that we need to give thanks for. But we would question the legitimacy or really our sanity if we were to give thanks for all things, right? Because there's some things that really happen to us that are downright stinky. Can I use that word? That's the John David translation. There are some things that occur to us that we don't like, that aren't good, that aren't fair. But here's where you need to pay attention to vocabulary and terminology, because Paul does not say to give thanks for everything. Did you catch that? He did not say give thanks for every single thing that happens in your life. He says give thanks in everything. So, you don't have to praise God if you lose your job, right? And it says, oh, thank you, God. I'm so glad I lost my job. Thank you for allowing me to lose my job. That's not what Paul's getting at here. But there are things that if you do lose your job, you can give thanks for. Father, I may not have this, and I don't know what you're up to, Lord God, but I just trust in you because I know you're Alpha and Omega, you're sovereign, you hold me in your hands. And so instead of focusing on what I don't have, Father, I'm going to focus on what I do have. Because I have a wonderful family. My family is healthy. We don't have to worry about the going fighting COVID and being in the hospital as some families right now are doing and experiencing. But Father, my family is healthy, and I thank you for that. Father, I thank you that I have a house to live in, a roof over my head. Father, I thank you that I have food to eat on my table. Are you tracking with me? He doesn't say give thanks for everything. He says in everything, give thanks. And so there are things that occur to you that you can still give thanks to God for. Speaks about our perspective, not necessarily our attitude toward our circumstances. And it's not by accident that Paul ends it by saying, this is the will of God. Such a perspective is God's will for your life. What could please the Heavenly Father more than for you to trust him in everything? So much so that you are willing to live each moment in a constant state of thankfulness. And I'm here to tell you that takes practice. That's why I love that children's song. I quote it several times, right? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And here, I'm about to be 43, and I have not made it yet. My family can attest to it. There are weaknesses that I have in my life that God needs through his Spirit to work with me on. It's a work in progress. But we are to be willing to live each moment in a constant state of thankfulness. And that's what this pastor did, the one that was in China. He was finally released. I know some of you might be wondering. He was finally released from prison on June 19th, 2018, after serving 2.5 years for divulging state secrets. But within, and you could look it up too on the internet, there's several letters that he's written and they've posted on the internet. You could read them for yourself. But through it all, through those 2.5 years of being in prison, he was able to see his life with bright colored lenses because he chose thankfulness over anxiety, over resentment. So how can you do that? How can you and I do that? How can we always rejoice? How can we pray without ceasing? How can we give thanks in all circumstances, especially if our circumstances are horrible, right? Especially if life seems to be one of discouragement and disappointment and disease and disaster and even, God forbid, death, one after another. There's only one way. This is what Scripture says, John chapter 14, verse number 6. Jesus says this, "I am the way and the truth and the life." How do you do it? His name is Jesus. And he's not only the way, he also shows us the way. He's our example. And the best place that I know that Jesus shows us the example of how we can rejoice always, how we can pray without ceasing, how we can give thanks in all circumstances, was that night in the upper room before he was betrayed. Listen to what Luke records for us in Luke 22, verse number 14. "And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again, or not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" The Greek word for thanks that Christ uses in there is eucharisteo. Eucharisteo, right? And the root word is a word that you are very familiar with, or should be very familiar with, and it's the word, the Greek word charis, or what we know as grace. Eucharisteo. And so Jesus took the bread and he took the wine and he saw it as grace. And he gave thanks for it. Eucharisteo. The Greek word grace is enveloped in that, but it also holds another derivative of the Greek word chara, meaning joy. So you have charis, meaning grace. You are hysteo, thanksgiving, chara, joy. Now just take a moment, if you would, and think about the significance of Christ doing that on that night. Think about what Christ, you are hysteo, meant to him. His body, I mean, he tells his disciples that his body, which represents the bread, by the bread, is about to be brutally broken. He's about to be momentarily damned by the Father, right? He's going to receive the entire wrath of God for your sin and my sin in order that God would receive the supreme glory and able to forgive sinners. And by doing so, Jesus would share eternally this full joy with hundreds of millions of billions even of forgiven sinners made righteous through his sacrifice. You see, Jesus' eucharisteo was not based on his circumstances that night because he knew what was about to happen. He was about to endure the worst possible horror anyone could experience. And yet, He felt thankful to the Father for the grace and glory that was coming through the cross. And somehow, some way, this gave Christ joy. Eucharisteo. You see, his joy, his thankfulness, this grace that was given to him was not based on what was happening to him at the moment. You see, it was based on what would happen in the future. I believe that's why the writer of Hebrews writes, if I can find it, Hebrews chapter 12. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says in verse number 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus' eyes were set on future joy. He was able to endure the cross and get through the cross, not based on what was happening to him at the moment, but focusing on the future, the promised joy that would result from it. And this, my friends, is where God wants us to place our eyes on. He wants you to place your future joy. Make that your perspective of what God has promised to you. And what is your future joy? Oh, I'm just going to share with you a few things of what your future joy includes. The very best possible future you could ever imagine. You will have the free gift of complete forgiveness for all your sins, extending into forever, Romans 6:23. You will never, ever have to merit your justification by keeping the law, Galatians 2:16. You will have all your real needs provided while on earth, Philippians 4:19. You will receive all the grace you need at all times so that you will abound in every good work that God has for you, 2 Corinthians 9:8. God will complete the good work that he has began in you, Philippians 1:6. You will be raised from the dead and never ever die again, 1 Corinthians 15:52 through 53. That means that someday soon you will see Jesus and be with him, 2 Corinthians 5:8, and you will be like him, 1 John 3:2. And in that day, you will know for the first time full unpolluted joy, Psalm 16:11. You will be completely free from all corruption, Romans 8:21. You will have God forever, 1 Peter 3:18, as your exceeding joy, Psalm 43, verse 4. And church, that is just a small sampling of your future joy. The joy set before you and set before me is the same joy that was set before Christ, because you are an heir of the kingdom with him. Wow. So right now, you may have trouble. Right now, you may have trials. Right now, you may have tribulation. Your personal life may be in chaos. There may be frustration even in your family or discord, or you may even have difficulty in your finances or, God forbid, even your health. And I'm here to tell you that that's okay, because Jesus said that you would. John 16 says, Verse 33, listen to what Jesus really says to his followers in verse 33. He says this, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. It's a promise, right? That you and I, God's not picking on you. Right? You're going to have tribulation, but I love this other promise that goes along with it as well, found in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. It writes this, the writer tells us this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. Yes, you will have trials, you will have tribulation, you will have trouble, but thanks be to God, we serve a Savior that is not unable to sympathize with what we are going through, because in every way, he has experienced what you have experienced. and yet he did not sin. In fact, the trouble that you and I are experiencing, it does have a purpose set for it. You are displaying the reality of Christ in a unique way to the world. Did you know that? That you are able to show God's grace and mercy and forgiveness in your life when you are able to go through things with a joyful heart. When you are able to experience things and still have yet a spirit of thanksgiving. So how can you rejoice always? How can you give thanks in all circumstances? How can you pray without ceasing? There is only one way, and that is the Jesus way. Look at the joy that is set before you. Because here's the thing, and I'll close with this. If what you believe is real, and it is, amen? If you hold Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you believe that the Word of God is God's divinely God-breathed Word, that every word in here is true, and His promises are true, there is no circumstance that can steal your euharisteo. None. And I'm here to tell you that if Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, knowing that the very next morning he would endure the death on the cross, and yet that night he was still able to give thanks to the Father, I'm here to tell you, there is nothing that you go through that you cannot give thanks in. Not thanks for, but thanks in. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. And as we enter in this Christmas season, Father, we want to start and begin with a spirit and attitude of praise, rejoicing, and thanksgiving. Especially now. We say it every year, it seems like. But I think now in 2020, with everything that has gone on in the world and even here locally, I think it's easy to say that we need to pause and remember what's most important. And so, Father, I pray for us right now as we're about to enter into this time of communion, a time of worship, that you restore our joy. Maybe there's some of us here in this room or listening online, Father, that their joy has been stolen because they've allowed external circumstances to take it away. Father, I pray in these next few moments that you restore that joy, because it's not based on the outside, it's based on the inside. Because we have you. We have you living inside of us. And it's because of your example that you humbled yourself even to the point of death on the cross, who, as the writer of Hebrews reminds us, looking at the joy that was set before you, you endured it all. Father, may we follow that example as we try to become more like you. May we give thanks. May we rejoice always. May we pray without ceasing. For it's in your Son's precious name we pray. Amen and amen. I love you guys. Greg.